I want to touch on something about our love work, but we spoke on Sunday and also last week about faith in the love of Jesus Christ. The fact that God wants us to experience his love, because it's when we have experienced his love that we will now have that sense of, a high sense of self, or what we call self-worth. And so we will also have to be able to give unto others. And what we showed is that what actually causes us to experience the love of God, which manifests itself in God doing with his power, exceeding abundantly above what you have imagined will happen, or what you have even prayed unto him to happen. So you have an imagination that you are communicating to God in prayer. And by working in love, you create the condition in your life where Christ comes to dwell or makes your heart his home. And from that position, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you have imagined or prayed. And it's faith in his love, or faith in his mercy. That's what the scripture terms when it says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the entire earth, looking for someone whose heart is perfect towards him, so that he can show himself strong in the life of that person. And so that what he's looking for is people that will hope in his mercy. Psalm 35, verse 16 to verse 19. Next verse. No. Sorry. All right, put 2 Chronicles chapter. Let me first do that. Chapter 20, verse 22 to 24. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord has set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Sinai, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Go back to verse 18. It's the song I'm trying to get. Verse 18, sorry. Go back to verse 18. And the worship Lord, verse 19. The Bible says, and the Levites and the children of Kohath, stood up to praise the Lord with a loud voice on high. Verse 20. And they rose up in the morning and they said, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Verse 21. And then the scripture says, and when they had consulted with the people, they appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord for his mercies endureth forever. Now they praised what? The beauty of his holiness. And they said, praise the Lord for his mercy and endureth forever. And then the scripture says, as they began to praise the Lord, that singing that song, the Lord set ambushments there, and they were smitten. And verse 23 tells us, they destroyed themselves, they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir. Everyone helped to destroy one another. And then verse 24, the Bible says, and when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, Behold, our dead bodies fallen to the earth, none escaped. And verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. The Bible says more than they could carry away. So they left a lot there because it was more than they could carry away. And the scripture tells us right there that they were there, put it back, for 3 days. So they were right there for 3 days there, gathering the spoil, for it was so much and it was more than they could carry away. Now, what they did was to praise God. And they praised the beauty of his holiness, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Then Psalm 33, verse 16 to verse 19. Psalm 33. So the song was about God's mercy. So they didn't win by the might of their own army against the army of Jehoshaphat. Oh, sorry, against the army that came against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat didn't win by the might of his own army. He won because he put his trust in the mercy of God. Now, Psalm 33. It says, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. And a man, a mighty man, is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. The next verse says, behold, the eye of the Lord are upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So it is upon them that believe that the mercy of God and God's compassion is stronger than any force that is coming against them. In other words, they that observe life varieties, which is the might of the army, they forsake their own mercy because they believe that that situation is stronger, so to speak, all right, than even the love of God, and they don't know the love of God. But Jonah said, I will sacrifice with a voice of thanksgiving and not forsake that mercy. I will acknowledge that mercy. I will put my faith in God's love for me as a person. He said this. He said, and he saw the power of God manifested in that situation. So this should be a daily practice of ours, all right? You should always acknowledge God's goodness towards you and God's mercy and his love towards you, even when things appear difficult. You see, you are not in a transactional relationship with God. Where? All right, because many people are spoiled and they transfer that thing to God, which means if things are going on well, then I will praise God. If things are not going on well, then I have a right. That's what defeats people. All right, to feel down, and I have a right, all right, to be moody, and I have a right to refuse, all right, to praise God. See, God, praising God doesn't make him more like God. Your praising him doesn't add to him. What praise does is that it changes you and puts you in a condition where God can bless you as a person. So, and where you're going to prove that love, all right, for you as a person, is where you get into those difficult places and you acknowledge, we said this on Sunday, his goodness and the fact that his compassion endures forever. In fact, as I was reading that scripture, something, that's why we say people should read scripture, because there are two ways God ministers to you. You can listen to me preach. You can put your eyes on the scripture and the scripture can minister directly to you in a new way. When I was looking at that scripture, it came to me when I was preaching Abuja on Sunday, but it came back again. And then God added a scripture as I was reading it to my mind, and it's true. When he says, praise him for the beauty of his holiness. Now, it tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 that without holiness, follow peace with all men. And it says, and holiness without which no man, all right? And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, he had already said, if we go back in Hebrews chapter 12 there, where it says, lift up the hands that hang down. And then it talks about the feeble knees and make straight paths, all right? It says, lift up, all right, the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which be lamed, which means lame, which is injured, which is wounded, be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then it says, follow peace. That's the path of peace there that you have to follow, and holiness. And what it's talking about is your walk and your lifting up of your hands unto God. So for holiness, you are praising God for the beauty of his holiness there. Praising him that he's good. Even though you are experiencing something, it says, that may be grievous, but you acknowledge that he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And that you might be experiencing the chastisement of God. In other words, God wants to correct something on the inside of you that is hindering you, all right, from actually getting blessed. That's what really is going on. The reason why we go through tests, we saw this in Romans chapter 5. It says we rejoice in the hope of God's glory, and not only that, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh strength of character, or what is called experience, that strength of character, and experience worketh hope, and that hope makes us not ashamed, or through the love of God, it no container that we have can hold what he wants to bring. But it says that patience works experience. Experience is strength of character. In other words, what God is saying is, you have to go through some tests in order for your character to be built up. That's the only reason, so that you can handle what he's bringing. Let me repeat, the only reason why you must go through crisis and you have to go through it is that your character has to be developed, because what he is bringing into your life, if your character is not developed, it will destroy you. Right? The thing is going to, the Bible says, the prosperity of a foolish man destroys, all right, every one of them. When we started this church, one of the first people that got married in this church said, and it affected our marriage. In fact, it affected our marriage that this guy got married to her. When the one, not my own, but I just went the one, Third Mainland Bridge. And it was raining, he came out of the car. And this, how I just want to show how dramatic it was and how romantic it was. And he knelt down, it was raining, and she said, what's the problem? And she came out and he presented the ring in the rain. So you can say, oh, this man, all right? That, listen to me. Now, listen to one, pull your ears well. That marriage did not last 3 months. Listen to what I'm saying to you. 1, 2, 3. Apparently, she realized later on he was offered a senior management position, but they said he has to be married. In the rain, knelt down. All right. But I'm just telling you that in the subconscious of the lady, she had told her friend, many years, this is almost 25 years, told her friend that I don't desire my husband to ever be rich. You are saying her now. Now, look, you have to understand this. I'm going to get there. She didn't just say it from her head. Train a child in the way that should go, and when they grow up, won't depart from it. Some of you may be saying her, but you don't know you are programmed that way too. And the reason is, her father broke through, became wealthy. He took a second wife. So she associated that when he didn't have money, he was faithful. When money came, he brought, married somebody else and left them and went away. So her own concept is, my man must remain at this level and I will not allow him. I hope you know that you have entered into witchcraft. I hope you understand what I have. And I will not allow him. But it's coming, all right, from a certain place, right, in the background, okay, of that particular person. That's what's influencing, right, her mind in that kind of decision. So when it tells us there and talks about the lame foot, let it be healed rather than, you know, being turned out of the way, that lift up your hands and follow peace with all men, it's speaking about, all right, two things here, praising that him for the beauty of his holiness, worshiping him for the beauty of his holiness there, saying that the Lord is good and that this thing I am going through is for my own sake, that my character may be corrected. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's what he's doing. That's why he says the chastisement of God is grievous. And he says, if you are without chastisement, he says, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Bastards then mean that you'll be unable to receive the inheritance because you haven't gone through the correction in your character that is needed. So what really causes the stress is not the situation, but the refusal of an individual to know that that situation is demanding a change and they don't want to change. That's what causes stress. What causes stress is not the environment, but the fact that the person, I want to talk about the person just refuses, which means I'm not going to change. I will remain, all right, the same way that I am now. So there are changes that have to occur on the inside of you, and you are rejoicing in that tribulation there. You know, listen. There's a documentary I'm watching on Netflix because I follow cricket, and it was the captain of the South African cricket team just after apartheid. And he went into match fixing, and he had to leave the team. He was disgraced out of the team. Funny enough, he later on died in a plane crash. And you know, I just realized this morning, when I was watching documentary, because I just stumbled on it, I said, oh, this man, let me watch his documentary. And I knew when he died in the crash. He went to Pastor Ray McCauley's church. It was a life something when he became captain. And they gave him the mic, and he was talking about his life and his commitment to Jesus. And he said on the pulpit, that's why you be careful what you say. He said, look, the most important thing to us is about our love for Jesus. He talked about when he had an accident and he killed a young Zulu lady. Of course, you know, just coming out of apartheid then. So it was real crisis in South Africa, and that he gave his life to Christ. And the most important thing, and he said it this way. He said, even if I die from a plane crash, he said it. He said, this is what he said, even if I die from a plane crash, I will meet with my master and I will be able to answer to my master, well done. But he also said something in that, because three of them came, they were born again. And I said, this is Christianity, he just said now. He said, we commit our faith to God concerning this cricket thing we are doing. We don't ask God to make us win matches. We ask him to grant us the grace to play the best that we can. Because two people can be asking God to win the match. But the real issue is that when you, are you following what I'm saying here? Okay? So God is not about acting first on the outside. It's about changing you on the inside. So that you become a type of person who can now go out and change the world there. This is what I'm saying. You can be praying to God for a job, or you can ask God to make you the kind of person that for the rest of your life you will not be without a job. Do you get what we're saying here? That means you've accepted responsibility now, And then you start praying that way. And then God now shows you certain things. And in the process of doing that, leads you to add certain skill sets to yourself to the point where, all right, next thing that happens is without you now praying, six companies, best companies in Africa are looking for you because of your skill. Are you following what I'm saying? You cannot have a neurosurgeon in the world that is looking for a job. Impossible. Do you get what we're saying? It's impossible. You can't have a neurosurgeon that is looking for work. It is impossible. The reason is the demand is more than the word supply. So the question you should ask yourself, what supply are you bringing? If there is no job, it means they don't demand what you have. And what you may have is just the shirt you wear. That's all. Do you get what I'm saying? Which means the skill is not relevant to them. Are you following me? Please understand this. This world is not a place of charity. Where people are donating money to no productivity. Even if they do it that way, it's because they have more money than sense. The day the environment makes them have more sense than money, they will arrange what is going on inside the place. And I learned that from a friend's mother. She was building a very fantastic, she was an architect. She was building a fantastic house. One time we were driving, she just took with her, looked at, said, that house. Yeah. She just finished it now. I'm telling you, this thing happened. She just finished it because when my mother was birthday, she came. She now lived in America for almost 20 years, but just came back and now renovated the house. But she started that house maybe 1980. Fantastic building. She said, it was when I had more money than sense I was building. You're laughing. All right, so you praise him for the beauty of his holiness. Another thing you must learn also is this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. And please understand this. People that treat people right. This is why walking in love is so important. People that treat people right are the most blessed people on the earth. It's not the most talented people, all right? People that treat people right. Matthew 7, verse 8, Jesus said, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread," "ask bread, he will give him a stone." All right? "And if he ask for a fish, he will give him a serpent. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things." Now, he said, therefore. He's connecting your Father giving good gifts to them that ask him. He said, your Father will give good gifts to them that ask him. He said, because of that, which means therefore, because your Father is willing to give good gifts unto you. Therefore, he said this, "Whatsoever you will that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." In other words, he said, these things you're asking and praying about, most of them are going to come through the hands of men. And the law is, whatsoever you want men to do unto you, do the same unto them. In other words, God, in answer to your prayer, will give you an opportunity to do unto others or to somebody a fraction of what he wants, all right, of what he is about to do in your own life through somebody. He has to go through, there's a legal way into it. So he will nudge you, right, to behave and to treat people in a certain way so that he can get people. You know, the pastor I went to preach in Ibadan on Friday and Saturday in the church in Ibadan, and the pastor said, "Listen, I'm going to pass on the spot. He doesn't know about this story, but I'm going to tell this story." And he said, "You know, I lost my job." He said, "And pastor just saw me once, and it was an usher. Then the usher said, 'I heard you lost your job.' I was wondering how you found it." Well, to cut the long story short, he now said, when he was preaching one day, he just said, there's somebody here, I think you may think you don't have faith for this, but you do have the faith for it. And, you know, he said something like, somebody is going to come into walk into your life that is a total stranger and with your faith and bring a blessing to you. He said, he just received the word. Well, he had started his business 3 months, no client. He said, you believe the first client he got was a foreign organization in that business he was doing that started paying him in US dollars. He said, and they met him on the internet and they trusted him absolutely. I've never seen anything like that. Absolute trust. He said, and they were willing to invest and he started earning in dollars, all right, doing the work they wanted to do in Nigeria as their representative. He said, however, in the course after he lost his job, he said, pastor was preaching once and he talked about helping other people. You know, the Bible says that you will reap in due season if you do what? Faint not. Do good. Now, to all men, it says you will reap in due season. The due season will come where the door will be opened up. But before that due season comes, what you should be doing is practicing helping others. He said he will take his wife to work since he didn't have any job. He will drive her to work, drop her at work. That's an act of service too. Some people, they might, you have no job. You can't drive anybody anywhere. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even trying to establish your lordship again on top of. So you drove, all right, to work, dropped her. And he said he now listened to her. When he's coming back, he will see cars that are broken down. He said, so by himself, just to be of help, he went to buy a thick rope that he could use to tie to cars and pull them. So his second work became helping people when he's coming back on third mainland. However, he said he was wise. The only people he helped were women, because so that he doesn't, you know, before he steals, you are helping. Or he looks at the size of the guy and he knows that if anything happens, I can take this one on. So he will check the size, or he's a woman, all right? And then he will tie it. He said, and he will drag cars. That's the second work he was doing. He said, and he just helped them, that he had known that if I can help a stranger this way, one day a stranger will walk in and help me this.